Good morning, everybody. My name is Clayton. I'm the lead pastor at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us today. We're jumping into a brand new sermon series. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 41 towards the very beginning. And I love beginnings. In fact, I love the beginning of every month because it seems like a couple things happen at the beginning of every month. Like this month, we got an hour to sleep in a little bit longer. Amen to that. That's an awesome thing. But also every beginning of every month, we get paid. Like most of us get paid, okay? Like it's awesome to get paid. You're like, oh, finally I can pay my bills. Because that's the problem with the beginning of the month. Yes, you get all your money at the beginning, but it seems like all of it goes out at the same time. In fact, you know, my family, I feel like for the last 22 years of being married, it's like every month there's always this moment of kind of like, ooh, like are we going to be okay? You know, trying to think of how much is coming in versus how much is going out. Except for maybe, I think we had one month in our entire, 22 years. It was the very first month of marriage where we were like awesome because we had all this extra money from the wedding, you know? And you're like, this is going to be great. And like, it's going to be awesome. And then like month two, you're going, oh no, like we got an adult now and make some decisions. And a lot of times you end up getting to a situation where you're going, where did it all go? And so that's what we're going to be talking about this month, the idea of finding ourselves spent. And the reason we kind of find ourselves spent and wondering where things went is because we all have relationship problems. Now, not with your spouse or your significant other. I'm talking about how we have relationship problems with, one, between us and our stuff, and also between us and God. And the goal this month is actually for us to be able to thrive in our relationship with God and in our relationship with our things. You see, God wants you to win with your wealth. He truly does. He actually has a plan for every single one of us when it comes to our finances. And it's our job to figure out what is that plan and actually to implement and live by that plan. And so during the month of November, we are jumping into an Old Testament story and looking at a Bible character that has some great wisdom on how we can actually win with our finances. And this guy's name is Joseph. Now, not Joseph, not Jesus's earthly father. We're not talking about the New Testament Joseph. We're going to go all the way back to the very beginning, to the Genesis, to the biblical Joseph in the Old Testament. You see, this guy, he was the 11th son of a guy named Jacob. And so he is, can you imagine having that many brothers that were older than you? Talk about a beatdown, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the things that he went through, all the hand-me-downs that he had, I can't imagine his life. But he was the 11th son, and he ended up being actually the favored son. He gets the coat of many colors, if you remember that. And his brothers hated him for it. They actually sold him into slavery. He ends up down in Egypt, and he's a slave. And he actually works his way up to actually having influence and power, and he has an opportunity to save people from starvation. And we're going to use his story to talk about your money. And you're like, Clayton, that's none of your business. And you're right, it is none of my business, but it is God's business. Our finances are God's business, and he actually has a plan for us to not be spent. So today, the story starts with a dream in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 41, where Pharaoh, he is trying to figure out this dream that he has. You ever had one of those kind of dreams where you wake up, you're like, what was that all about? Trying to interpret and figure it out. Pharaoh has this dream, and it wasn't just a regular dream. It was actually a vision from God, and he could not figure it out. And so he asked many different people to interpret it. They can't do it. And he hears about this guy that knows how to interpret dreams. He's good at it. And so he says, hey, go find that guy. Bring him to me. And that was Joseph. And he asks Joseph to interpret his dream. He tells him about it. And look what happens in verse 16. Joseph replies to Pharaoh and says, it is beyond my power to do this. I can't do it. I can't interpret the dream like you're wanting me to. And he goes on and says, but God can. Don't you love that? God can. He says, God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. Now, before we jump into the depth of all this, I feel like I just need to stop and just say, when it comes to your finances, I think there are some people in this room or maybe watching online, that you're just done. Like, you feel like you're in over your head. This is difficult. You feel like you're out of control. Maybe you need to hear this message, a simple message today that God can, okay? Nothing is impossible with God. I don't know where you're at financially. I don't need to know. God knows, and God can. He can help you. He can be there for you. He can provide for you, and he can give you wisdom to be able to survive and thrive in this world. He has a plan for you. And so here's how the story goes. Joseph interprets the dream. And we're not going to get into the depths of the dream and all the things, but here's the interpretation. He says, a famine is coming. It's going to be bad. In 7 years, there's just going to be a famine. It's going to last for another 7 years. It's going to be bad. You need to prepare. And I love this about Joseph, that he didn't just give an interpretation and says, all right, later, I'm out. But instead he goes, man, he's a gutsy guy. He goes, in fact, I'd like to give you some advice, Pharaoh, on how you should actually live out this vision of this dream. And he gives his opinion, he offers some advice. And what he does, he gives this plan. And here's the plan. He says, hey, if I were you, okay, anybody ever done that to you? Like said that to you? Well, if I were you, this is what I would do. This is what Joseph does. If I were you, if I was Pharaoh, I would find a really smart person that knows finances, knows how to manage things, and I would put that guy in charge, so you don't have to do it all. Put that guy in charge, and then maybe get some regional managers so they can divide up the responsibility. And then the entire country needs to save 1/5 of everything that they produce and store it for later because it's going to go bad later. And so this is what happens towards the middle of chapter 41. After Joseph gives that advice, here's what Pharaoh says in verse 41. He says, I hereby put you in charge, okay? So he's like, hey, that's a great plan. Now you go and make it happen. What does this have to do with your money? Well, something I've realized as studying this passage, and if you want to write this down, this is a great thing to think about. Look, if you don't have a financial plan, you are one famine away from failure. And isn't that true? I mean, you're just, like, that's what was going on there. If they were not prepared, the famine comes, they were going to be in trouble. And the same thing happens in our lives. If we're not financially prepared for the bad times, man, we're just one famine away from failure. And Joseph recognized that through the dream. God helped him to interpret that dream, and he gives him a plan. And this is what Joseph does. Joseph goes and he implements the plan. So here's what they do. They eat on 80% and they save the other and store the other 20%. They lived off of less than they made and they created this safety net. It's pretty simple. Like, let me interpret that and simplify that for modern day. This is what they were doing. All they did was create a budget. Okay? Everybody knows what a budget is, right? A budget is just a plan for your spending. And this is what they were doing even way back then. The problem is some of us don't. Some of us don't have a plan for our spending. Some of us, we have to just, it's just wishful thinking, you know? And it never works out. We put things down on paper and it never works out the way that we hope it will work out. Now, here's the truth today. I am not your financial planner, okay? You do not want me, okay? You do not want me as a financial planner. But I do believe that I can give you some biblical advice. I may not give you budget advice, but I can give you some biblical advice that can speak into how you spend your money. You see, in Acts chapter 7, going all the way to the New Testament, there's this moment where Stephen, he gives this amazing speech, and he tells everybody, let me go back to the very beginning, let me tell you about the nation of Israel, let me give the story, pretty much goes through all the Old Testament in a very succinct and small and quick way, and he actually spends some time talking about this guy, this Joseph guy, and look what he chooses to say about Joseph. He doesn't say, and Joseph was this great financial planner. Joseph had this MBA, and he was so smart and did all these things. Here's what it says. He says, God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom. Wisdom that wasn't common. Wisdom that was different than the rest of the people around him. God gave him this unusual wisdom. Where did this wisdom come from? It came from God. You and me, where do we get this type of unusual wisdom? We get it from God's word. And God's word actually says a lot about how we manage our money. Proverbs 21, let me give you just a couple of examples. Proverbs 21, here's what it says. This is not earth-shattering and revolutionary. It's just smart. Here's what it says. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Duh. Right? Okay? Yeah. Sounds smart. But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. The problem is a lot of us, we're not willing to wait for the prosperity. We'll try to take shortcuts. The Bible says, man, that's foolish. It's dangerous. Verse 20, I love what this says. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. I underline that. The wise have and fools spend. Okay, isn't that so true? Wise have and the fool spends. And Jesus himself even talked about our finances and being smart and having wisdom. He says, don't begin something until you've actually counted the cost. Don't get into something when you don't know how things are going to go. Plan. Plan for things. You see, planning isn't putting things on yourself and saying, God, I don't need you. Planning isn't a lack of faith. It's actually an act of faith. In fact, I'd say this, it's foolish to be planless. It's like driving at night, you don't know where you're going, you got to put everything in your GPS, and all of a sudden, all the electronics go out in your car. Like, you don't have the map anymore, you're not sure where to go, but you're still driving, you're like, okay, I can figure this out. All of a sudden, the headlights go out. Anybody ever driven without headlights at night? Oh, come on, don't drive with her. Okay, all right, so don't do that. All right, that's bad. Don't drive without headlights. But can you imagine being in that moment? How would you feel? How would you feel? For one, you'd be scared. You'd be anxious. Like anxiety would just well up inside of you. And it's because adrenaline would dump, okay, into your bloodstream. Cortisol hormone would dump into your bloodstream. All of a sudden, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, and you begin to kind of freak out in the moment. And that's what it feels like when someone continually lives month by month without a financial plan. There's a time during that month where you're like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure when I'm going to crash. You can't see in front of you, and it's just a scary feeling. God doesn't want you to feel that way. God wants you to have a plan, and he wants you to use biblical wisdom. In fact, Joseph is our better example. He's our example of someone who looked at something, and he saw the road ahead, and he made a plan, and he lived it out. In fact, let's jump back into Genesis 41, and let's see what he ends up doing. I'm gonna kind of start in the middle of verse 46 in the story. So it says this, when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, when he got done after Pharaoh said, hey, now you're in charge, he's like, okay. And so he goes and says this, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. Can you imagine how long that would take? He didn't have a car, right? I mean, he didn't have the internet. How long it would take to go around and inspect the entire nation and all the things he had to write down and figure out the towns and how much grain they had and the crops and all those kind of things. He goes and inspects everything. And it says in verse 47, as predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops. Things were good, right? Oil was high. It was awesome, right? Life was good, okay? And during those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the city, and he piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashore. And so he inspected, and then he gathered, then he stored, and then he piled up. And the result said he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. So here's what he did. He planned it, but then he also worked it. Not for a month, not for 2 months, but for 7 years, he worked that plan. Can you say that about your budget? Like, I mean, for a lot of us, we're like, okay, I'm going to make a budget. And after 1 month, you're like, oh, that's not going to happen. It's not going to work. But instead, he planned it and he worked it for 7 years. And I love this about, as you get into the depth of this, like, why is this in the Bible? I think it's because Joseph was honoring God and being obedient to the Lord. I look at this story and I realize, man, this is a worship story. Joseph was worshiping God in that moment. I mean, I love to worship. I mean, some of you guys, most of y'all love to worship. I love to sing praises to God. I'm not good at it, but I love to sing praises to God. Like the other day, I was at a Christian concert with my wife, and I was actually next to Holly, but on the other side was this older lady, and she was singing her heart out. And let's just say this. She had It was not good. I don't know what to say. Like, it was just not, like, it was, and like, she had a lower voice than me. I was like, man, like, the bass over here. And, but she had about two notes. That was her range. Okay. And I was like, I mean, she was singing and I was just listening to her. I'm sure she was on the other side listening to me going, man, this guy's got a high voice. Why is his voice so high? You know? And he's got two notes that, I mean, I'm a terrible singer. So we were like matching together. It was bad. Okay. So, but we were singing because we were worshiping the Lord. It didn't matter what we sounded like because to God, it was amazing to in hear his ears. And it was just a cool time. I love to sing praises to God. I sing too loud. My family tells me all the time, Clayton, stop. I'm like, I don't need a microphone. I just sing, okay? But I love it. I love to be able to sing. I love to open up God's word. I love to study it for myself, but also like to try to figure out, like, God, what do you want your people to hear? And like reading between the lines and figure out the context and the culture and what's going on. And love to be able to share that with people. I love those things. But let me tell you this. Managing your money is also worship, okay? Worship is not just about singing or reading the Bible. It's not this spiritual stuff. Sometimes the practical stuff is also just as worshipful. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says this. You want to worship God? Do this. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. I love this phrase, honor the Lord. Like, what does that really mean? Well, in the original language, this word honor at the very beginning of that verse actually means to pour on heavily, okay? So that's how we're supposed to honor God with our wealth, is to pour on him heavily, to where it's like heavy on the Lord. We're pouring so much honor and praise and worship and putting it all in his shoulders to the point where he gets the honor for everything. I love that, to honor the Lord with your wealth. And it goes on and says this, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. That sounds very similar to the Joseph story. Joseph honored God with the plan and he worked that plan. And the result is that Joseph's calculator broke, right? It says he couldn't count all those things anymore. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel sermon. I'm not telling you, hey, if you just do what God tells you to do, then all of a sudden you're going to have all this money in your bank account. Everything's going to be amazing. I mean, if we look at the story of God's people in the Bible, we sure know that when you follow God, things do not go well, okay? That's not what this is about. But it is about honoring God, and God will honor you back. He will bless you in his way. Look, every time you budget, and you got to budget with wisdom and character. Every time you make hard decisions as a family, you actually say no. Every time you find contentment with maybe what little you have instead of being envious about what other people have, every time you do that, you know what you're doing? You're saying, God, you come first. God, you come first. Literally what you're doing is you are worshiping God. It isn't just about singing, but it's actually about stewarding. You see, God entrusts us with things. He entrusts us with our family, he entrusts us with our positions, but he also entrusts us with the wealth that we have, the things that we have, the paycheck that we have. He gives that to us. He blesses us with it, and he says, how are you going to spend it? How are you going to steward it? And whatever he's given us, I want you to think about this. It's your Egypt. And how you spend your Egypt matters. How you steward your Egypt matters. Just like Joseph had, he was given all of Egypt to steward. It is his responsibility. Every single one of us is given a responsibility. And the question is, how are we spend it? The problem, some of us have big problems, okay? Some of us have big problems with it because, look, we have no self-control with our spending. The truth is, we don't really have an income problem. We got a spending problem. I'll just be real and honest with you. A while back, Holly and I were like, where's all our money going? I mean, it's just, there's no money at the end of the month. Like, what's going on? And so we had to get together. We just didn't really have a very good plan. Life was just crazy. And we got together and we're like, okay, as a family, a couple, we sat down at the table and we said, okay, no one's to blame here. Sometimes you got to have that conversation, okay? No one's to blame. We're together. We are one flesh. We're together. We have one bank account. We need to look at this. And so we got to figure this out. And so we went online and we downloaded a year's worth of spending out of our checking account. And I took that, put it into a spreadsheet, and then I alphabetized it to be able to see where is all of our money going. And so we started with the A's and we started looking at it and we started going down and we went down and down and down and down. And I was like, I realized like this guy named Amazon has access to our checking account. Like, who is this guy that's taking all of our money? Like, Brian and Jill, my neighbors right over here, like, that, you guys know how many times the Amazon truck comes to our house. But hey, they stop at my house and they go like 10 feet to your house. I know how that goes, okay? They love going into our cul-de-sac, all right? But we got a problem. We got to spend it. I realized it was shameful. Like, I looked at it and I was like, the hundreds of Amazon purchases that year, it was just hundreds upon hundreds. It was crazy how much we were spending when we didn't have a plan. And this is something I realized. Maybe you've never heard this before, but look, your bank statement is actually a spiritual document. It's not just a financial document. It's a spiritual document. It is telling a story of what you love. What are your priorities? Who you serve? And either you're going to love your stuff or you're going to love God more. They can't be co-equals in your heart. In fact, the Bible talks about it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you will love the other. You'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. They don't work together. And so what God wants to do is he wants to shape your financial heart. That's what I call it. How you spend your money, how you choose to budget your life. And here's the great thing is that, here's how God works. When you trust him, With what little you have, it's amazing how he gives you more to handle. I mean, a great way to think about this is like he puts just a little bit in your hand and God says, will you be faithful with this? And you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I know it's not very much. I wish it was more, but I'm going to be faithful with this. And all of a sudden you are, and then God will give you a little bit more. He'll give you a little bit more responsibility. And he says, can you handle that? And you feel your financial arm. You're like, hey, it's a little bit stronger. I can actually handle it. And over again, he gives you more and more to be able to handle. In fact, Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 16. Here's what he says. He says, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in larger ones. But look, if you are dishonest in little things, you'll be dishonest with greater responsibilities. We don't like that verse because we're like, God, look, if I just had more, then I would be faithful with it. But I just can't with the little bit that I have. And God's like, no, that's not how it works. I know what your heart's like. Give me your heart first, and I'll bless you after that. And I love to see this also in Joseph's story. There's like this step-by-step progression in his life. He didn't just all of a sudden lead Egypt. His life was a slow progression. In fact, did you know that he started out as a shepherd? A lowly shepherd boy, thousands of years ago, primitive time. He's the youngest of all these brothers. I mean, he's the lowest of the low. And God said, will you be faithful with that? And he was. And all of a sudden, God gave him favor. He gave him more. All of a sudden, he became the favored one of the family. He gets that coat of many colors. But let me tell you this, it doesn't always go good, right? When you're following God, sometimes things go bad and you got to start all over. Like anybody ever started over financially? It happens, right? Sometimes that happens. And it wasn't his fault. Sometimes it's not our fault. It just happens. We got to trust God in the middle of that. That's what happens to Joseph. All of a sudden he finds himself, his family hates him. His brothers hate him. He's sold into slavery. Did you know that when he went to Egypt, he got picked up by this guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar was like the general of Pharaoh's army. So he was a prominent guy. And you can imagine the number of slaves that he had, servants he had. And Joseph is like at the lowest rung. He's scrubbing the floors. And in a few short verses, it's amazing how when he was faithful with that, all of a sudden he got promoted to being like the personal assistant of Potiphar. He did such a good job with that that it wasn't very long before he actually became like the CEO of all of Potiphar's wealth and all of his land and all everything that he had in his house. And then he got to even be promoted past that to go from Potiphar's house to Pharaoh's house. And he interprets a couple other people's dreams. And everybody kind of understands just how awesome he's doing with that. He's being faithful to that and trusting the Lord with that. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh recognizes that and sees that and says, I want you to bring Joseph to me. And so he gets to interpret Joseph's dream and gets to level up even more. After that, he actually becomes kind of like the vice president, the VP of all of Egypt. He has this amazing responsibility. No one is as high as him except for Pharaoh, just as one rung higher. But I'll tell you this, he even went higher than that because he actually got to become the savior of nations. He went from being a shepherd to the savior of nations. Kind of sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus, he is the good shepherd. Jesus is the savior of nations. And God, I'm so thankful for him that he is so gracious to us. I'm so thankful for Jesus who took that responsibility to be the savior of the world, and he died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. God models it for us and asks us to be like him. So this is my personal question for you today. How's your spending? Is it impulsive? Is it intentional? Is it a coping mechanism? Or is it a worship mechanism, right? That's a tough one right there because a lot of us, we spend because we're trying to get over something, okay? It's just our way to relax or to get even like a high from that. We're actually coping from something instead of using our spending as a worship mechanism, how we spend and save and use the wealth that God has given us. Here's the question. Look, if someone were to get access to your bank account like Mr. Amazon does in my house, okay? If someone got access to your bank account, would they find you faithful to God? Could they look at that and say, oh, that is a worshiper of the Lord? Look, faithfulness is not about how much you have, but it's what you do with what you do have. A wise man once said that a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Pretty smart, right? That's Dave Ramsey, by the way. But, you know, it's smart, right? Budgeting is smart. So look, here's my call to action. In fact, every week this month, we're gonna have a call to action because this is a really practical sermon series as we look at Joseph's life. There's something that we shouldn't just take this message and go, man, that was a good message. And like, where are we going to eat for lunch? And like, forget about it. Instead, we should say, if you have your spouse with you, be like, hey, we're going to talk about this. We're going to pray about this. And so I invite you to take this one step of action, this call to action this morning, this week. And it's this, to take what I call a Joseph-sized step of faith. Looking at his life, what did he do? And we should model that in our lives as well. You can do that a couple ways. First one is this. Simply pray about your financial planning. When's the last time you did that? Maybe ask God, how can I honor you with my wealth? Am I even honoring you with my wealth? Some of us maybe need to ask the question, God, I just need help. Like, I feel like Joseph trying to interpret a dream, and I'm in no position to be able to do that. But God, you can. God, help me. Provide for me. Give me wisdom. Help me to get out of the situation that I find myself in. Instead of trying to do it on your own, God wants you to go to him. Maybe that's what you need to do this week. Or here's something else you could do. Maybe do this. Maybe make a budget plan that's actually worshipful. Look, some of you guys in this room are going, Clayton, this is a great message for them. But I'm good. Like, I got my money in the bank. Everything's great. My life is good. Everything's funded. And everything's good. I got a budget. But here's the truth. You can have a budget and it still be an ungodly budget. Okay? When's the last time you looked at it and asked the question, is it worshipful? Or is it all about me and the things that I want in this life? Or am I using it? Am I being a good steward of it that people could look at it and say, man, you are worshiping God through what you have? Some of us need to start looking at our bank statement as a spiritual document of worship. God wants that for you. You see, God doesn't want you to be spent. He doesn't want you to be worried. He doesn't want you to be stressed out. He doesn't want you to be empty. Instead, he wants you to worship him with everything. And we can begin to do that this week. Let's pray. Lord, you're good. You're worthy. You are the greatest giver of all time. You gave us your son, Jesus. I pray for anyone in this room who's never trusted in Christ, they would do that today. They would repent of their sins and trust in you. And that God, you would give them a new heart. You would change their life. You give them eternity with you in heaven. There's nothing more important. Our budget's not that important compared to our relationship with you, that decision to trust in you. So I pray for anyone that needs to do that today. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you give us a plan. You don't just put us on this earth and leave us to our own vices. But God, you give us wisdom through your word. And not just how to live spiritually, but also how to live practically. And how we budget is important. I mean, how we spend our money is something we think about every single day. We will think about it every single day this week. So God, convict us. Help us to take some steps of faith, just like Joseph did, to ask you for wisdom. And to ask you, God, am I honoring you with my wealth? Is my budget a worship moment? Is my bank statement a worship document? And if it's not, God, give us the courage to have those conversations and to begin to change. And I pray, Lord, that you get all the glory for it and that you would bless us as we trust in you and as we live for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.